Hey guys, thanks for tuning in to episode 91 of the Kitchen Stitches podcast. I'm Summer, and you can find me on all of the interwebs as Summer Yarns, which is SOMERYARNS. And today, Katie is with me. Darcy was not able to join us today. Katie is, I'm going to let Katie tell her usernames.
I'm
trying to move the iPad closer.
Okay. I'm Katie B on Ravelry, KAYTEEBE. Katie B KT on Instagram. If you go to my Ravelry profile, you can see all my links to things.
So I think, based on what I have, this probably won't be one of our longer episodes, especially since there's only the two of us today.
Yeah.
I've got a handful of FOs and not very many WIPs right now to talk about. So we'll get started with all the stuff. I'll start because I have a big one. So FOs, I finally finished my starting point wrap by Hohe Locatelli. I still have almost all of the ends to weave in, but I did finish.
Yay.
I'm gonna, it's monstrously big, and it's not blocked yet, so let's see, except the, what's the, I think,
you have it right.
That was the back.
The right space.
There was one place where I had added a row of one color, so the garter, you can see the color change, but it's only one place, so I consider it a design element. So the only thing, I did end up running out of yarn. I think I talked about this the last time. Hey, Jethro. I ran out of color three and four, but for color four, Katie gave me a ball that was really close in color to the color I had been using, and it's so far apart, you really can't tell that it's a different color. And then color three was a variegated with a bunch of different colors, but there's one section on the side that I didn't run out where you alternated between color five and color three. And looking at it, it's really pretty subtle. So I figured that if I just used color five the whole time, that it wouldn't look too bad. And I'm fine with it. I mean, I got three garter ridges with the color three, and then the rest I did with color five. And then the very last little triangle that ended it is with color five. And it doesn't bother me. I mean,
well, in the grand scheme, there's so much going on.
Right, that you just really don't notice it.
And it's not like you're going to hang it on the wall as an art piece.
Right.
It's going to be wrapped around you.
Yeah. But that's, it doesn't bother me. Not even at all. So, I have got a ton of ends to weave in. I spent 15 minutes weaving them in one night and got like half, I got the, almost one short end done. So that's going to take a while, but I'm not in a hurry. That was one. And then I don't have it with me, but I finished the Collie Wobbles by Emily Estrada. I used Hot Knit Yarn and Spooky Spooky, which were Halloween colors, oranges and purples and grays. I don't remember what other, I think there might have been another color in there, but I've finished those and I've worn them several times, so they are not here. I think they might. I think they're clean, but I didn't bring them. And then I also finished the vanilla socks that I was working on in my hand spun, which I used Rockin' String Creations BFL Silk in the Caramel Apple Cider color. And I finished those. I've worn those a couple of times. Those are BFL Silk, not Superwash BFL silk, and without thinking, I tossed them into the laundry, and they felt it. No, they didn't felt so bad that I can't fit them on my feet, so now they're actually super, super soft. They're just a little snug across the top of my foot, like almost at the heel. But I think they will actually stretch out after a while. I couldn't find those. I was going to bring them in. That was so soft after felting that I would actually consider doing it again on purpose. Maybe make them a little bigger and do that. I wouldn't have to make them that much bigger. Probably, you know, a size bigger and it would work. But that was a little frustrating because I really do love them. But
maybe house socks or something.
They kind of were going to be anyway because they're a little thick. Once I blocked them, they weren't as thick as I thought they were going to be. But I really, really loved the way those turned out. And then I also finished the Slipstream hat by Louise Zass Bingham. I used Knitted Wit Victory Sock in the Bad Santa colorway. And I started out making socks with this yarn, and it's really more of a sport than a sock weave. You feel it. It's really thick.
Yeah.
And the pattern I was using was Payday Socks, and it was either 60 or 64 stitches because of the way the pattern was. I really couldn't. Without really thinking about it, I couldn't modify it, and so I decided to switch projects. But I really liked the way this has a slip stitch detail that goes up, kind of like I think it's the Atlantic Current socks. Actually, there's a lot of sock patterns that use this, just the stripe of slip stitches down the middle. And I really liked the way that was working up, so I looked on Ravelry and found a pattern that was similar and has a really interesting detail on the brim that I had never done before, where you pull the yarn through, and then it's like you go through like you're gonna knit one stitch, like you skip several and you're gonna pull it, but then you're gonna knit it, but you pull the yarn through, and then I don't remember what you do, like put it back over on the, it's really hard to explain, but it makes this neat little elongated slip detail. And I really, really like this. The only thing about it is it's a little shallow, but I think it looks, I think I
you can, blocked it yet?
I blocked it. I didn't block it aggressively. I mean, I can, it covers my ears. It's just not very slouchy. That's fine. I like it. And then the last thing, I had this just a minute ago. I was actually late to Katie's to record today because I decided I had to finish this. I was working on, this was the Circumvolute Hat B. So I did the last time I recorded, I had done the Circumvolute Hat A. And this one, there were two patterns included in, two hats included in that pattern. And I had another nice speckled yarn that I thought would work well with the second one. So that's what this is. I used Nomadic Yarns. I don't know what she calls her DK, but it's a DK in the Fa La La colorway. So it looks like peppermint bark to me. Mm-hmm. It's got greens and reds, and then it also has some brown, which hopefully nobody's peppermint bark has brown, but you can have chocolate.
Yeah.
So, yeah, I was working on this today. I worked on this. I went to see my mom in Mississippi last weekend and got quite a bit done. I thought I was actually going to finish it and then realized I really needed to do another half a repeat to make it long enough. So I worked on that yesterday, and today I was like, well, I'll get the body done and then I'll put it aside. And then I got the body done and realized that the decreases for the crown were only 6 rounds. So I had to do that, and that made me wait. But you know how it goes.
Yeah.
But I really like this one. This one is a little deeper than, well, it's a lot deeper than the other one. I probably didn't need to go down a size for the brim. It's a little tight. But it's got a little bit more slouch to it.
It may stretch a little bit as you wear it, too.
I think it will. But especially since
I'd rather have the brim be. I hate brims that aren't tight, and then it's like, how do people wear hats that don't stay on your head?
Yeah, me too. That's
slouchy hats.
I like both of the circumvolute patterns. Those are by Hunter Hammerson, and those are May patterns. And then spinning, I only have one finished project. This is a butterfly girl bat I bought at yellow rose in the spring. A while back, I had done a pink and orange bat by the same person. And they're both of them are super, super sparkly. And I was kind of avoiding doing this one. I think I talked about this a little bit last time. But the sparkle was so, it's kind of unmanageable. It gets everywhere. It was just so much. And I, instead of just pulling off pieces as I was spinning, I actually pulled it off and made little nests. And that did keep it down a little bit. But I also did this one thicker than I had done the other one. And spun it just a little bit more loosely because the other one turned out a little bit ropey. And I'm really happy with this. I have no idea what I would do with it. A cowl would be itchy because of all of the sparkle. It's one of those sparkles, it's like, it's not tightly wound in it.
It's a long fiber. It's a long sparkle.
Yeah, so I don't know what this will end up being. Maybe nothing. But that... Oh, the only other, yeah, I didn't bring it, but I did finish the cross stitch I was working on, which was a Ouija board. If you follow me on Instagram, you've probably seen my progress and saw the finished product, and that was a lot of fun. I did have one really frustrating part, and I don't remember if this was before I recorded it or not. I was almost done. I was on the last quarter of it and realized that I had left out a stitch, so I had to undo the whole corner. And then I also realized at some point really near the end that I had left out a stitch somewhere else, but I was able to cover that one up without that. That one didn't matter. So that's it. That's all of my finished objects. What about you?
The only one I have is my Ohm shawl by Andrea Mowry.
Which is fabulous. I really, really like that.
So this is a big, I guess, wrap poncho that you put buttons on that you can then make it like a sweater, you can make it like a poncho, you can make it like a shawl. Has 19 buttons.
Well, I like those buttons.
I got them off of eBay. Like, there were sets of 8 or something, mm-hmm. so I had to get 3 sets, but mm-hmm. they were really reasonably priced for what I liked and wanted. Joanne's had nothing.
Yeah, sometimes I can find something and sometimes I can't.
Well, I would find, you know, 2 buttons. Mm-hmm. I needed 19. So, and I've learned, okay, Sunday afternoon is mm-hmm. not the time to go to Joanne's.
Oh.
That's when everyone's in there.
Yeah, I think I've made that discovery before, too.
I don't ever go to Joanne's. Michael's too.
Yeah.
But there were, you know, 15 people in line to get their fabric cut. Oh,
wow. Yeah.
Yeah, there were, I'm just like, yeah, so this is where all the ladies are on Sunday afternoon. So, I used Plucky Knitter Snug Worsted, which is an alpaca merino blend.
Oh, it's soft. It's really soft.
Well, I think I pre-washed all these two, plus it's been blocked. Mm-hmm. So yeah, it's really, really soft. I took some pictures, so there's pictures on my project page. So the main color is Wonderlust, which is a nice charcoaly gray. And then, let's see, Social Graces is kind of like a blue-green. Melba is
like a pink. Terracotta almost, yeah. A little lighter.
Like the inside of a watermelon, a little bit lighter maybe. Like a not ripe watermelon. And then I think Gilded Age, I can never remember if it's Gilded Age or Wax Poetic, is a mustardy gold color. And so you've got sections of textured stripes and then some color work sections. So I may actually wear it, we'll see.
I really like that. The color work intimidates me, otherwise
it's actually not hard, and I've done...
It's only a couple stitches.
It's not that big of a section. It's only maybe 100 stitches across.
And the
floats
are like only 2 stitches, right?
Yeah.
In one place.
Yeah. And once you kind of figure it out, you get a rhythm, it's really easy. I screwed up this row, but I don't care. And, This would have, I had started this like a year ago, and then I think I got to this part and I kind of didn't want to deal with it. But once I picked it back up, it went really fast. So it's a pretty fast knit. I mean, it's worsted weight. I knit the color work on 9s because some people said that helped a little bit. Mm-hmm. Did the rest of it on 8s. It does take 19 buttons. I got mine off eBay. So I'm happy with it. I copied colors off of at least one other person. I liked her color selection. I'm like, oh, I got those. That's something I would wear. That's the only FO I have.
Okay, let's see. Works in progress. I actually don't have just a ton. I've been really fairly monogamous. I've really wanted to knit the holiday yarns that I have. So, I have, you know, I did the hat out of the pneumatic yarns. That's still under my whips. That's why I'm thinking about it. I think I've put maybe a row or two on the giant granny square blanket. I think I'm on the Snosberry colorway, maybe.
Did you get the one for November?
I did. I'm not going to put it in. I'll talk about that in a little while.
You could always use that as an edging or something, too.
And then I am also working on just a pair of vanilla socks. It's using Jinx yarn in the Gingerbread House colorway. I have to say I like this colorway a lot more in the skein than I do knit up. It is a lot of fun in the skein, but you've got one brown stripe and then a variegated, like kind of like a creamy background with speckles of pink and green and yellow, maybe a little blue, like candy sprinkle colors. Yeah. And then just a cream or like a bear, really. It's like a natural color. And the cream and the speckles are right next to each other, and it just looks dirty to me. It kind of
bled a little bit.
Yeah. I think I would like it a lot better if she had alternated brown, so had brown, then speckle, then brown, and then cream, and done it that way. Side by side, they just...
Or made the speckles more vibrant.
Right.
You could tell.
Right. Yeah. So this, I mean, it's okay, but it's not my favorite. It doesn't scream holiday to me at all. I'm using Susan B. Anderson's Smooth Operator pattern for the most part. I'm using my knitted heart vanilla sock pattern, which has ribbing on the edges to give a little stretch, but it's mostly vanilla. But I'm doing the afterthought heel using Susan B. Anderson's pattern. And I have just split. Like I had, for that one you put in your waist yarn and then you don't knit the full sock and you come back. And I guess it's so you can more accurately measure the length. And it's also easier to work with when you don't have the full sock. But I've just now taken out the waist yarn and have my needles in, but I haven't started the heel yet. And I'm gonna pull out from the middle until I get the brown and put in a brown heel. And I won't worry about the toe, just whatever I get to. So there's that. And I'm also working. So Katie posted a picture on Instagram a while back, or not that long ago. She was in Michael's and they had these knitted garlands that had, I think one of them had hats and one of them had stockings.
Yeah, there were two or three sets of hats and there was one that was stockings, striped stockings.
And I went and I looked at them and they wanted $20 for them. And it was about, you know, maybe a 6-7 foot garland.
Yeah.
With, I think it had 11 little hats on it. And I decided that there was no reason for me to spend $20 on that when I have so many scraps. And that I could make my own. I'm still not sure what I'll do for the actual garland part, like the string portion, because I'm not going to hand knit an eight foot I-cord. I could do a crochet chain, but I think I'll probably just go buy, like you suggested, raffia or something like that, or something like Is that what you said, raffia?
Yeah, I think or so. A ribbon or something.
Yeah, I think you I could probably. Yeah. I could find something that would work. I mean, even like a string of like a like greenery or something like that would be fine.
I just think a crocheted chain would be too floppy.
I think you're probably right, unless I use really bulky yarn.
Well, not that a knitted I-cord wouldn't be floppy, but yeah. Just 8, you know, a couple feet of that would be soul killing.
But I just grabbed a bunch of sock, you know, leftovers and took them into work, and I'm working on it. I have not had as much time to work on it as I had hoped. So I've only got 2 done. One of them's hiding in here. I can't find it. I've got part of a 3rd one. Oh, here it is.
Are you going to do all hats? Or are you going to do like any stockings or mittens or something?
I'm just going to do hats because they're easy. I don't have to think about it. You know, it takes... I could do one in a day if I actually got 2 breaks and a lunch. But the way my life has been, I have not had much time. But one of them I used... this was... What's her name? Hobbledy Hoy's mom. Jen... Marigold Jen.
I did not know that.
this was in You'll Shoot Your Eye Out. So it's a Christmas color. The other one is in Mountain Twilight by Rock and String Creation. Okay. And I like this one. It's a self-striping with purple and blue and teal and gray.
So I think that would be really fun to do with a whole bunch of self-striping.
Yeah, that would be, especially
partials.
I could make...
Where you could get through a couple...
Of color.
You could get 2 or 3 colors in a stock, in a hat.
Yeah. But those are quick enough. I'm off Wednesday through the weekend next week for I wish we got off for Halloween, for Thanksgiving. So I'll be able to get those in. I can, put them up in my cubicle at work after Thanksgiving. And then let's see. So spinning, I am currently working on a braid of Elemental Fiberworks Polworth Silk, and this is one of the exoplanets. I think it's an exoplanet. It's HD403007G, which tells you nothing about the color, but it was actually a gradient. It went from blue to yellow to green, kind of a mossy green. And I didn't want to do a gradient. I didn't want to do it as a single. So I split it in half and then split it in kind of really into like pencil roving. So I have smaller color repeats. And I did from, it went the whole length of the fiber. So wait, no, that's not what I did. I broke it in half down the middle. So I had blue and yellow in one half and green and yellow in the other half. And then I've spun them up and I'm plying them together. So I've got kind of blue and green mixing together with yellow. And I'm probably 2/3 of the way done with plying on that one. I'm spinning fairly thin, so it's going pretty slowly. And then cross stitch, I am working on the Star Wars Owls pattern. Again, if you follow me on Instagram, you can see my progress on that. It's so cute. It says, a long time ago in a galaxy far, far away, and then it has an owl that is dressed like Luke and an owl that is dressed like Darth Vader. And I'm finished Luke and the words, and I started the Darth Vader portion today. And this is a gift for a friend of mine whose birthday is at the end of the week. So I will probably finish it before we go back to work after Thanksgiving, and I can gift it to her then. But that's all of my works in progress.
Okay. I have at least 3 that I am aware of. I am in the home stretch on my 2nd Avenue shawl, which is a big rectangular wrap by Amy Miller. I'm using Plucky Primo Fingering and Snug Fingering. I'm in the rugby stripe section, so I only have 2 more stripes to go. and then the little edging. So...
That's cute. I like that.
So it's got some just simple eyelet lace, and then the rest of it's just all stockinette. So if you don't like stockinette, this is not for you, because it's like over 1,000 yards of stockinette. Oof. I don't mind, because it's just easy. I just have to keep track of rows. Mm-hmm. So I'm in the home stretch with that. What, like 28 more rows plus whatever the edging is. So that's probably not bad, right? No. My hands have been bothering me, so I haven't really been knitting that much. I may frog this and use the yarn for something else. So I bought 3 skeins of DK from Suburban Stitcher in the Cinder colorway. So it's this really pretty silvery gray with just very few speckles of a dark black. So I started a boneyard shawl, mm-hmm. which is just a very basic triangular shawl. But I'm kind of like, I don't know that I want another triangular shawl that's just really plain. Mm-hmm. I don't know. But this is the second thing the yarn was. It's really squishy DK.
It actually, I didn't bring the, it feels similar to the DK that I used for this hat. They might be the same
base. It's pretty yarn, and I'm loving working with it. I don't know if I want to make something asymmetric on the bias, maybe.
I really like that gray. It's a really pretty silvery.
Yeah. So this is Cinder. So this is Boneyard. I'm almost through the first skein, so I guess I need to make a decision if I'm going to keep going or not. And then my other one is I started another pair of lambing mitts. These are fingerless mitts by Veronica Job. I love this pattern. I've made maybe 3 or 4 pairs of these. I've modified the pattern because I don't like the top that folds over, so I just go till I feel like I want to stop. And I don't make it as long either on the wrist. I do like 3 inches instead of 7 inches. And it's just, it's a free pattern. It's just, knit 2, purl 2, mm-hmm. 1 round, and then knit the whole next round. So it's a really, really pretty easy pattern. They go fast. I'm using Plucky Sweater, which is a merino nylon blend in the Black Watch colorway. And the particular skeins I have of that are really dark blue or black with a little bit of green, like the Black Watch plaid. Mm-hmm. So I'm going to make these. Hopefully they fit. If not, I'll have to make another pair. I was going to send these to my friend Jennifer. Mm-hmm. We went to boarding school together, and we had to wear Black Watch kilts. Mm-hmm. Her birthday is the day after mine, and it's kind of a big birthday this year, so I wanted to send her something. She doesn't know about them, so if they don't fit, I'll make them a size bigger or something and send those to her. I left those at work, so mm-hmm. that's all I got for whips.
So I didn't put this down in our show notes, but I will throw it in here. So last episode I had finished my Riley Rose, and I had it actually in the bag of all of the stuff that I had brought to talk about, and I hadn't taken it out, and one of the cats got in and pulled it out, and they really, really liked it and chewed a hole right in the middle, actually straddling 2 of the sections. And surprisingly, I didn't freak out. I had, it was a moment of, insert expletive here. But then I looked at it, and because this is the Riley Roses by Jennifer Lassonde, and the way this pattern and a few of hers, there's multiple sections with different textures or stitch patterns, and it's pretty modular. So I'm pretty sure without much effort, what I can do is put in lifelines on either side of those 2 sections, rip out those 2 sections, and just re-knit them and then graft it together. And the only issue, the only place I'm concerned that it might be a problem is on the edge, because she uses a faux I-cord edging, and I'm not sure how to graft that, but I might just seam those together, and I don't think it would be that obvious. But
I mean, it's just two stitches. It's not like,
yeah. So it's not, I mean, it's one of those things. It could have been worse, and I have plenty of leftover yarn for it, so I will consider it a learning process. This will be, I've never done surgery on knits like this, so I will attempt that at some point. Let's see, casting yarn soon, do you have any plans?
One thing I'm probably going to do in the next couple of days is, I got a free pattern, if you followed a whole bunch of rules, called Winter Butterflies, which is a hat by Jenny F, who is Sweater Freak on Ravelry. It's a cabled hat. It's kind of simple, mm-hmm. but they're doing a big knit along. So if you followed a whole bunch of rules, like join the group, followed them on Instagram, mm-hmm. made a project page. They would send you a code for the pattern for free. Mm-hmm. Otherwise, you can purchase it for $3. And they're having a big knit along. It's a DK weight hat, and I've got plenty of DK. Mm-hmm. I don't know. I've, you know, finished, what, two or three epic things.
Yeah, need a little palette cleanser.
I need a little palette cleanser, but I also, you know, my birthday's in a week and a half. I kind of want to cast on something nice or special. I don't know. I have a whole bunch of cashmere, although I don't know that I want to. I don't know. Nothing is speaking to me at the moment, mm-hmm. but I mean, I have a couple things. I'm kind of interested in a freer fade. That's the one that Heidi had knit that was kind of the elongated. Yeah. Scarfy shallow triangle one. Mm-hmm. I would do the DK version. I have some stuff in my stash that would go together, but it's all pinks. Mm-hmm. And it's not that I don't like pink, I just don't know that I want that much pink.
Yeah.
So I got a notice that Ashley Twist Fiber Studios mm-hmm. shop opened back up on Etsy. So I ordered a couple of skeins from her, and then I kind of went on a little did it bender the other day and ordered another skein. So I'm mm-hmm. thinking I can put together a couple of things from Stitches mm-hmm. that Black Cat Fibers. Yeah, I have a blue, a dark, not the solid blue that I got, but it's like blue with some browns and stuff. Mm-hmm. So I'm kind of trying to build off of that or put that in the mix. So I got something that might go with that. Plus I have a spun right round skein. So I might try and do the blue green theme, which is more of what I wear. I mean, I do wear pink, a dark pink, but I just don't want to hold pinks.
Yeah.
Shawl, not with, you know, woolen vine and twisted out, you know, like $40 skeins of yarn, you know, that I might not love. And then I do kind of want to knit the 800-yard dash, which is by Knitterella, which is Jill Zielinski. Mm-hmm. I did buy a kit from Plucky. I bought the scholar kit, which is worsted weight. But I don't know that I really want to make another blanket right at this moment. Not if I'm working on another DK shawl, plus whatever else I cast on. So I have enough in fingering weight, and I got the one color off of D-Stash. So I have this, I replicated the kit just by having to buy one skein. So I don't know. We'll probably play around in the next day or two. We'll have 3 or 4 days next week, so.
Yeah. All right, now I don't have any plans for anything in particular. I want to finish the garland, so that's kind of I have a timetable for that. But I really, right now, I looked at my UFOs, my unfinished objects, and I really have done a good job of getting rid of my WIPs this year. I mean, I think I have, like, well, for one thing, I frogged a couple of pairs of socks that just weren't working for me. One pair I'm pretty sure was going to be too big. I don't even remember what the other pair was. I think I talked about it the last time. It was the, I don't even remember, mincemeat pie or something. It was out of Socktopus, and it was a really cool pattern, but I got, you know, I had put it aside and then had a hard time picking it back up. But I frogged a few things. I forgot to mention, I frogged the, what are they called? Bob and Weave socks by Susie White, because I was really liking the Payday socks that I was using with the knitted wit, and I wanted to do that pattern. So I decided that the Unwind Yarn Company in the Lake Frances Sunrise would work really well with that pattern. So I frogged down to the rib and have started that, and it's kind of on, it's in hibernation at work until I finish the hat garland. But looking at my whips, I've got the Color Study and the Paralucius shawl, and I didn't even talk about this one. It's the Samothrace. I don't know how you say it. It's a Susan Ashcroft design that I'm using, hand spun. This is the pumpkin patch. I guess, or pumpkin from Jinx Yarn that was in the something very woolly. Masham. That I'm working on that one. I keep forgetting that I even have that one. But so I've got those are the only three three big projects I actually have other than blankets right now. So I kind of want to plug through those and get them done and clean off my needles for the new year. I think I could finish the Color Study and the Paralucia shawl for sure before New Year's. Maybe not the other one, although it's a really simple pattern. So right now I'm not planning on casting on anything new, but like I said, we've got I'll have 5 days off next week, and you never know.
Although the park's now open, so.
Yeah, that's true. So we were planning to go out there tomorrow, the Brazos Bend Park, which has been closed since Harvey. But yeah, so that, no real plans at this time. So what about acquisitions?
Well, I wanted to talk about my frog pond.
Oh, okay. I kind of went there too. Yeah.
I was digging, I have a basket that I keep underneath my end table. The intention was to keep my whips in there so that they weren't littered all over the family room. But it's just my husband and I, and I just put stuff away when people come or hide it somewhere. I was digging through there looking for, to see what buttons I had. Just these really cheap plastic buttons. And none of them went with it, and they looked really cheap. And I'm like, okay, so I didn't, took for my own shawl, and I wouldn't have had enough. So I'm like, well, while I'm in here, I pulled out three or four, things and just ripped them out because they had been languishing. I felt no more love for them. One of them was my Algonquin hat, which is a baby cocktails hat. I don't know how I feel about her patterns. I've not loved anything that I've knit by her.
I think I have a few, but I don't think I've ever actually knit any.
She's one of those that uses charts. So it's, here's the basic setup, knit from the chart.
Right.
No, I can't knit from a chart. There's a cowl I really want to knit of hers. I could probably learn how to read the chart or handwrite it or have Dave write it out for me. But this was a hat that was like slip stitches in two colors. And I had only gotten, you know, the brim in like five or six rows through it. And it's one of those you like move the marker to mm-hmm. change the beginning of the round. So that got ripped. I had designated this to the frog pond a while ago, but I actually ripped it out. My Sea of Shells, which was by Rose Beck. It's like a scarf mm-hmm. that's scalloped, and it's three or four colors. And I kind of fell out of love with the colors because I used like a black purple and then like a red purple and mm-hmm. a pink, and they kind of went together, but then kind of didn't. Mm-hmm. So I learned how to use my Nitty Knotty. Yeah. So I pulled that out. And then this was a current.
Sorry, we have an interloper.
Oh, it's patched. I had started the Pearl Dust Shawl. The other two were long-standing whips. I had started the Pearl Dust Shawl when I got the Cinder. It's a textured shawl with, like, slips, you know, slip one, pearl one type thing. Mm-hmm. And I got, I don't know, a couple inches into it. And then I was off by a stitch or two. And I'm like, I don't have the brain space for this. Mm-hmm. Plus, I was using Cinder. And I want to see the speckles. Yeah. And because it was slip stitches and stuff, you couldn't see the speckles. So I would make that with something else, like more of a variegated or a tonal or something more heavily speckled. But it would have been pretty, but I want to see the speckles. So that was by Colleen Kinnersley. It's like a big shawlette, so that's a new pattern. Sarah Hsu had posted a picture. She had test knitted or was one of the first people to knit it, mm-hmm. and it was on sale, so I bought it. And I'm like, oh, that'll be pretty, and then I can't see the speckles. So those are the three things that I have frogged in the last week. And it kind of feels freeing.
It does. It really does.
Okay.
So acquisitions, let me see. We mentioned kind of in passing, I did get the November colorway of the Madeline Tosh Willy Wonka yarn. It's kind of a burnt orange. No, it's darker than a burnt orange. Kind of a rusty color with more speckles rusty, of black. Yeah. And God, it, just massive whiff of vinegar when I opened the package. to the point that like Jimmy commented on the vinegary smell. It's a really dark color. Especially since it has some reds in it, I'm afraid that it will bleed. So I probably...
Well, you know it'll bleed.
Well, I know it will bleed. I'm not sure I can stop it from bleeding on the blanket. And the colors, most of the colors in that blanket, they're candy colors, kind of. Or, you know, not pastels, but more of like a deep pastel.
It'd be pretty as a hat or a pair of mitts or something.
I like the color. And I went ahead and bought it just in case. And as soon as I opened it, I was like, no, not going in the blanket. But I do really like the color.
Yeah.
So I got that. I forgot to bring it, but Katie has it anyway. So I got the Suburban Stitcher sock yarn in River's Edge, which was her color that benefited Hurricane Harvey. Now, at this point, it no longer is, but I really, really liked the color when I saw it. I saw it in person that Katie had, and I've seen a couple of people knitting it on podcasts. And so I snatched that up. Over the weekend when I was in Mississippi, I was browsing Etsy and was checking out bags by Awesome Granny because she had an update. And I didn't really want any of the Christmas yarns, Christmas bags that she had. She has some cute ones, but I think they were already gone at this point. But she did have her library pattern, which is just books with some gold detail. And I didn't want to spend the money on a big bag, but I did buy a Notions pouch. And for $10, this is a really nice size Notions pouch.
Yeah.
But I really like it. I like the pattern on the outside. And what really sold me was on the inside, it's got...
swallowed the, water wrong. I can't cook off that.
It's got like book text fabric. So I just really liked that. Jimmy was, you really don't need another bag. I'm like, of course I need another bag. Why wouldn't I need another bag?
Exactly.
I wonder if, it seems like I bought something else, but maybe not. I've done a lot of surfing and Etsy. Well, one thing I did buy, and I didn't, it wasn't for me. I bought one of Ninja Chicken's silk scarves, her botanically dyed scarves, for my mom for her birthday. And I hadn't even opened it when I went and visited. She opened it, and it was just beautiful. It was just, I got her one that was, it was like a purple, and it's actually very similar to this, like Katie, one of Katie's acquisitions. But I think that's all. I don't think I've bought anything else. Just lots of window shopping.
I got, speaking of Ninja Chickens, she has been doing botanical dyeing. I do have two of her sock blanks. And then it was Daniela is where I'm trying to remember where I saw this. It was Daniela. Because I'm like, it's somebody who lives in that area.
Mm-hmm.
Had on her podcast that Maria of Ninja Chickens and Ashley of Twist Fiber Studio joined together to make project bags. So Maria had dyed, I don't know, I don't think this is silk. I don't know if that's silk.
Nah.
So some sort of fabric with her botanical dyes. And then Ashley then made the bags. So I got one that's kind of purple, like main color, and then you can see the flowers and the leaves, some yellows and
that is so
mossy
pretty.
Greens and stuff.
I hope they continue to do some more of these, because I'd really like to get one.
I don't know how fast they went. I was on there right when the update went live, and I think they were $40 or $45 for the work that goes into it, for, you know, the, for making the bag and for the dyeing. So it's just a standard project bag of Ashley. It's got a really heavy duty leather handle and clasp on it.
Mm-hmm.
I don't think Ashley
really like that.
Yeah,
color.
So I like purple, so I got a purple. And then the other yarn that I could talk about, I'll have a lot more in December because I put on vendors. I got Hippo for Christmas from Lolo Did It. I got two skeins. I think I got the Lolo's favorite and I can't remember the other base. So it's the Naked Hippo, which is the light gray, and then it's got a rusty red, a dark green, and then a medium green, and then like a lime fluorescent green. And I got another skein of Hippo for Thanksgiving because the first one I got didn't have a ton of speckles or color on it. And I want something that had all the colors. So this is a little bit better distributed. That's all I've gotten. Is that all I've gotten? I want a bag from Java Jenny. But I think that's all I got. That's come recently.
I want... I'm looking at Ashley's shop, Twist Fiber Studio. She has a pre-order for her holiday lights set, which is, the bag is like black or really dark blue with holiday lights, and then the yarn is a black background with like the same like holiday light colors. That is just awesome. I don't have the disposable cash for it right now, but I really want that so bad. All
right. I don't know if she was doing the bag separately or not.
Oh, I don't know. I don't know which I like, but I like them
she
both.
She did
so
post
much.
That in the End of the Wool group, so you may go take a look or look on the website. Yeah. Maybe she has it separately.
So let's see. That's all the yarny stuff. I am going to say we're having a girls' night, and our friend Sarah is supposed to be here at 6. So there's a chance that she will show up. And we're going to finish regardless, so either Sarah will join us, which, given no warning, I don't know if she would or not, but she's a bookish type, so she might want to join us for that.
And my cat's knocking on the window, if that's what you're hearing, thumping.
I'm thinking, let's see, for in the kitchen, Honestly, I can't think of anything. The only thing, and this was not something I made. Did we talk? When was the last time we recorded? No, it was before the fall festival, right?
Yeah. It was before. Yeah.
It was before Halloween.
Before Halloween.
Yeah. We have a charity drive basically every year in October, and lots of the different departments do fundraisers. And one of our departments did a bake sale, and Chris brought this chocolate bourbon pecan pie, which was, if nothing else, what I've said is this is the best dollar I've ever spent at a bake sale, and it was really, really close to the best pie I've ever had. It was like the crust itself just melted in your mouth. It was delicious. So that's actually, I got him to send me the recipe, and I'm going to attempt that for Thanksgiving. I don't know that it will turn out as good as his did, but it's worth a try. Oh, and then the other thing, when I was in Mississippi, my mom and I baked an apple pie together, and she did a homemade pizza too, but the apple pie I can talk about because I actually rolled it out. I have very little experience with rolling out the pie, so she made the crust, and we collaboratively made the filling, and I actually rolled it out, and it turned out really good. I brought half of it home. I don't think Eli ever even tried it. He's just not a sweets person, and Laura tried it, but by the time she tried it, it was getting a little soggy, so I ate it. But nothing else. We've got Thanksgiving this week, and we have a challenge this year. One of Laura's friends is coming, and she has a dairy allergy and beef allergy. And we don't. Last year we did a beef roast instead of a turkey, so we won't be doing that. And we've been trying to come up with a menu that she can actually eat some of the stuff. I think we've actually narrowed it down. She likes Brussels sprouts, so I'll roast Brussels sprouts, and we're going to do a ham instead of, Laura doesn't really like turkey, and I don't really care one way or the other, so we're going to do a ham, and then they are bringing, Laura's friends are bringing a sweet potato casserole, so there's three things right there that I know that she can eat, and we'll work on the rest, but I don't mind the Brussels sprouts, because I'll do roasted Brussels sprouts. And I don't like green bean casserole, which I have to make every year for my family. So that gives me a side that I like. And
Dave won't make it. That's the only time of year I get it, mm-hmm. or that are at Christmas. So
I don't like canned green beans, and I don't like onions. So that's just a no-go for me. But Eli absolutely loves it, and that was the one thing he mandated. So that's all. So reading and watching.
I'm currently reading Renegades by Marissa Meyer. She's the author of the Cinder series. I'm about 200 pages into almost 550, 600 page book. Mm-hmm. I don't know why YA books feel the need to be over 500 pages.
I don't understand either, considering the amount of or lack of time teenagers have to actually read.
I think I can get through them pretty quickly, to, you know, but it's just, I don't know how big the Libba Bray book was, but I'm reading Renegades. It's a new series she started. I made the mistake of reading reviews on Goodreads, which I should know better. I either need to not read them or read them before I start the book. Not while I'm reading the book. Again, I'm almost 200 pages in, so do I want to keep reading for 6 hours, or do I want to move on to something else? It's the story of this girl, Nova, who her parents get killed when she's like 6 or 7 or something like that. There's been, it's very superhero-y. Mm-hmm. And I was picking up on that. It's like, to me, the world kind of seems like Batman a little bit. There's the whole, you know, the special city called Gatlin City. There's all these superheroes with different powers. So it's a combination of like Marvel and DC put together. And it's a little hokey. And her name's Nova. and her power is that she can put people to sleep. Mm-hmm. Plus, she's had 10 years to be trained to basically be like any other girl in a YA novel where she can kick butt. Mm-hmm. And she's really good at like engineering and science, so she makes her own weapons and has been mentored by some other superheroes. So I'm having slightly mixed feelings about it right now because it's just a little too superhero-y for me. Mm-hmm. And it's maybe dragging a little bit. So that's Renegades. The book before that I finished was called Before the Devil Breaks You, which is by Libba Bray. Mm-hmm. This is the third book in the Diviner series. Again, it's another doorstop chunker novel. It dragged on a little bit. Mm-hmm. The group, Evie, it's like a paranormal. It's set in like the 20s in New York City. Evie can read objects. So like she can pick up an object and will then have visions and can tell mm-hmm. things and stuff. And then other people in the group can, you know, have visions and stuff. And so they're fighting this evil spirit called the man in the stovetop. Smokes that what was the yeah. hat like guess,
I've heard stove top or smokestack right now I don't know
like whatever top hat top right? Yeah, but the top hat, but they call it like the stovepipe hat or something like that.
Stove.
Yeah. And he's you know this evil entity, not like a real person, but this evil entity who's controlling the underworld and calling all the ghosts that are in limbo and stuff. And it dragged on a little bit. Of course, there's probably going to be another one because there wasn't resolution at the end. And then the book before that I had read was The Gentleman's Guide to Vice and Virtue.
Oh, yeah. What did you think of that? Laura still has it. I keep needing to return it. And I...
How do I say this? It was okay. Mm-hmm. One of my other genres is historical romance. So I'm aware of the grand tour, the idea of the grand mm-hmm. tour, when it was usually men or boys come of age. They went on an extravagant vacation for 6 months, a year, 2 years, whatever, before they came back to go to university or take over the estate, do whatever they needed to do. Granted, these were people of money and power.
It's the historic version of the gap year.
Basically. But then there was like a paranormal element. And then there was diversity in that Monty, who's the main character, his best friend, Percy, I think is Indian. Mm-hmm. He's of a different ethnicity and a different class. Mm-hmm. So there's that whole saga. Plus then they secretly love each other, but you know, the angst of not telling each other or admitting it. Percy has a disability. I don't know if that's how you would classify it. I don't want to ruin it. Which of course in, you know, the 1700s, they didn't know anything about. So Percy, Monty's sister, who is like 14, and then what they call the bear, basically the guardian, who's not related to them, the chaperone, is going to take them at least to France and drop off his sister and then do the rest of the grand tour. And it just got really, it was like too many, in my opinion, too many tropes put mm-hmm. together.
Yeah. Just trying to be too much.
The two boys in love with each other. Mm-hmm. The whole paranormal aspect of it, which was kind of weird. And then, you know, the 14-year-old sister. And it was just like, I don't know. It was okay, but to me it was too many. It was too many things in a book.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
That's all I got.
All right. So, let's see. I finished Guardian of the Dead by Karen Healy, which is what I was reading last time. I think I said it was part of a series. It was actually standalone. This was the one that was set in New Zealand, and it dealt with, it basically it was Maori mythical creatures, mythological creatures. And honestly, it was fairly unmemorable. It's been a while since I read it. I did enjoy it at the time, but then I couldn't remember what it was about until I saw the cover. So I liked it okay. Then I read Boys Don't Knit in Public by T.S. Easton. And this was not, I kind of expected this to be more of like a middle grade book. And it was, the main character was 17 years old. And he was in with a, rough crowd, kind of. It was set in England. And he was on, he had done something stupid and was on probation. And one of the things that he could do or had to do was take basically like a leisure learning class, you know, and his choices were pottery and knitting and like mechanics, but his dad was teaching the mechanics class, so he didn't want to do that. And he thought that this teacher he had a crush on was teaching the knitting class, so he decided to take that one. And it turned out she was actually teaching the pottery class instead, but he was already in it, so he took it. And it turns out that he is this prodigy knitter, basically. And I really, in some aspects, I found it delightful. There was a lot of knitting terminology. I liked the storyline. It was cute, and it definitely kept me entertained. But there were some aspects as a knitter that were just so absolutely ridiculous. Like, this boy had never knit before, but then, you know, within 3 months, he's knitting sweaters and winning contests and starting an Etsy shop, and it was just a little much. But I really liked it, and I don't, either the man that wrote it is either a knitter or he did some good knitting research. I mean, he threw in names of, like, he mentioned the Rocky Coast cardigan, and he mentioned, like, maybe Malabrigo, and, you know, several, Cassett.
I'm blanking on the first, yeah. The guy that, the yeah. old guy, the color work.
Yeah. Like, and, you know, so he mentioned, I mean, there were lots of names. Kay Fassett, right. there were lots of knitterly references that only a knitter would get, which I really appreciated. So I actually really enjoyed it. There were some fairly scathing reviews on Goodreads, especially from other knitters, but I found it enjoyable, and I would actually recommend it to a knitter. I think it was, especially if you just kind of take it with a grain of salt, the whole prodigy knitter thing. But it was a lot of fun.
But some people are like that, yeah, though. I mean, who knows what what skill I have that I don't know, yeah. You know.
But there, you know, there was teen romance, and it was cute. I really enjoyed it. And then I've had to do a couple of day trips with my boss, and he's put on audiobooks while we listened. And the first trip we took, we listened to a whole bunch of NPR Wait, Wait, Don't Tell Me, like old episodes. That was a lot of fun. But then the second one we took, we listened to Me Talk Pretty One Day by David Sedaris. And that was hilarious and fun and completely inappropriate for work in some places. Luckily, my boss and I get along, and I'm not bothered by that. And if he had thought it would bother me, he wouldn't have chosen that. But there were a couple of times I'm like, yeah, there were certain people. If you were traveling with other people, this probably would not be the best thing to listen to. But I really enjoyed it, and I was able to mark one off of my to be read list. So
I think I read that a long time ago.
Yeah, I've had it on my list for years and just never gotten around to it. So I really, really liked that. And then I just recently finished Flashback by Nevada Barr, which is the 11th in the Anna Pigeon series. This one I didn't like as much. It was set in the Dry Tortugas National Park, which is in the Key West, or in the Keys. I don't remember exactly where. It's in an old Civil War fort. And there were flashbacks to, like, the Civil War era. It turns out that one of her ancestors had lived there, and her sister sent her letters to read. So there was that, and then there was the, you know, typical, you know, antics that she gets into, and, you know, crime and that type of stuff. But they didn't mesh very well, and it was really, really slow. And I actually ended up, when I drove to Mississippi, I actually switched to the audio version and listened to about probably the last two-thirds of it. No, not two-thirds, last third, as an audiobook. And even then I'd listened to an hour of it, and then I listened to a podcast an hour. And actually, even then, it was an 8.5 hour trip each way, and I still didn't finish it until like the next day after I got back. But I'm plugging along with that series. I'm currently reading Gifts by Ursula K. Le Guin, which is I guess it's a YA or middle grade book. I'm not far enough in. Well, I'm like a third of the way in, at least. Maybe a quarter to a third of the way in. I still can't really tell you what the book is about. It's, you know, there are different regions, and each, like, in the different regions, people have different gifts that are, you know, like, the one of the main character is the ability to undo, which basically you, like, look at something and it, like, and it basically comes undone. And it's building really slowly. It's at a point where I'm starting to get into it, but I don't know where it's going. And it is part of a series. I'm a little concerned that I'm going to get to the end and be like, I don't really know where that went. So we'll see. We watched La La Land last night, and finally, and I was not expecting great things from it. I've heard mixed reviews. I wasn't really sure how I would like it. I really, really loved it. It like made me cry at the end, and I kept finding I was knitting, and I would stop knitting to watch. So yeah, I really liked that one. I think one of the criticisms is that Emma Stone and Ryan Gosling really can't sing, or, you know, they're not that talented. That's one of the things I found charming about it, was that they were not normal people, but they weren't necessarily trained musicians, and they were just, you know, they were just doing this for this movie, and I really liked it. Have you seen it?
No. No.
And then, of course, we watched Stranger Things Season 2. I didn't like it as much as the first season, but we did like it quite a lot. We didn't exactly binge watch. It was kind of funny. Eli hadn't seen any of them, and we made him watch the first season first, and he ended up binge watching it and then binge watching the second season before we could even all watch it together. But, and then the last thing is a podcast. I've been listening to the Wonderful podcast. This is by Griffin and Rachel McElroy. And Darcy and I have both mentioned the McElroy brothers a couple of times when we're podcasting. They are, it's Justin Griffin and Travis McElroy. They do several different podcasts. They do The Adventure Zone, which is a kind of a role-playing, like D&D type thing where they are playing this game, and it's really funny. I'm not totally into that, but I do. Laura and Jimmy really like it, so we've listened to a lot of it on trips, and I appreciate the humor. I don't really follow the role playing part, RPG part. And they also did a show. Is it a podcast series? And definitely a show, an advice show called My Brother and My Brother and Me, which we have watched those. I can't remember what the name of the subscription online service was, but something that Laura got access to just so she could watch those. And then, like, Justin and his wife do one on, like, forensic history or something like that, which I listened to one and it didn't throw me that much, but, Wonderful. If you listen to Two Knitlet Chicks, and at the end they do the thumbs up, thumbs down, it's basically a podcast full of thumbs up. And so it's things that they are enthusiastic about. They call it a podcast for enthusiasts. And like they will each pick a topic or two topics per episode to talk about, and they will have done research on the topic, and they're just really, really cute. So I'm really enjoying listening to it. Sometimes they're a little weird, and sometimes I feel a little old because they're both, or at least I know Griffin is 30, and it's like, oh yeah. But I just find it's just wholesome, mostly wholesome. But I'm really enjoying that. And if you, I don't know, I think if you like that section of the Two Lit Chicks, I think you would enjoy this. I guess that's it.
That's it, I think.
So, we managed to get through this before Sarah got here. Don't know when we'll podcast again. Hopefully we'll get... I mean, I'm not going anywhere for Christmas this year. I don't know about Katie.
We're going to Wisconsin, but we'll be back the 30th. Okay. So maybe we can do it. I will be back after the 29th. Mm-hmm. Maybe we can do it that weekend of New Year's.
Okay. Yeah, and I'm off the first week of January this year, instead of right around Christmas. So we will find a time. It might be a little later in the month. It's almost the end of November now. So we will talk to you then. And I hope for everyone that celebrates that you have a wonderful holiday, because I suspect it will be after Christmas before we get back to it. So talk to you soon. Bye.
Bye.